In the last section, we addressed antidepressants, their relationship with serotonin, and how they are used to treat depression and anxiety. When I first entered the field of psychiatry and learned about the effects of these medications, one of their properties surprised me more than others. It turns out that these medicines actually have profound anti-inflammatory properties. Now, why is this important? Because depression is an inflammatory condition. In fact, the sheer importance of inflammation, both as a symptom and a cause of depression and anxiety, cannot be overstated. Historically, inflammation is not something that we've considered very much in mental health or in psychiatry. In fact, in my training, we touched on it almost not at all. That's certainly changed. And as we think about a more comprehensive and integrative model of mental health, everyone agrees. Inflammation is a huge piece of this and maybe part of what we've been missing. Recent studies show that combining an antidepressant medication with anti-inflammatories is more therapeutic than antidepressants alone in patients with major depressive disorder. They are also known to improve depressive symptoms among patients with a somatic disease. A recent report from a leading psychiatric journal says increasing evidence indicates that inflammatory processes can cause and contribute to the development of depression or symptoms of depression. Great, you're probably thinking, so how do I reduce inflammation? Or if we want to back up a little bit, what even is inflammation? Inflammation is our immune system's protective response that helps us fight off injury or infection. It's a good thing in theory. When the body suffers injury or illness, the immune system will release a variety of different proteins and hormones, including white blood cells, special cytokines, and proteins like C-reactive protein. These help to fight off invaders, clear out damaged cells, and even help heal the body. You probably noticed inflammation the last time you got a scratch on your arm. When you think about inflammation, think about swelling, redness, pain, and loss of function. Those are the classic signs. Issues may arise, however, when inflammation continues to occur for prolonged periods of time. Inflammation is our body's natural response to protect and heal itself. It fulfills a purpose, but too much inflammation or inflammation in the wrong places, not so good. We're just starting to understand and uncover the effects of inflammation on the brain and inflammation's overall effects on mental health. We know definitively that there's a strong correlation between mood and inflammatory levels. We even know that simply having depression leads to a spike in inflammatory factors like interleukin-6. We also know that chronic stress, environmental toxins, and social isolation, just to name a few, can lead to an imbalance in the release of pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory molecules, with too many pro-inflammatory chemicals let loose in the body and the brain. So, to summarize, when the careful balance between pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory reactions in the brain is out of sync, this leads to chronic inflammation. Today, thanks to dozens of groundbreaking studies, we now understand that chronic inflammation does have a hand in depression and anxiety disorders. In fact, many studies have now shown that approximately 1/3 of patients diagnosed with depression have high levels of different inflammatory markers like CRP or interleukin-6 coursing throughout the body. And when those inflammation levels are elevated in the brain over time, you will see serious consequences, In fact, when researchers from Emory University scanned the brains of depressed individuals with high levels of CRP, they found less activation in key circuits connecting the brain's reward areas to those responsible for executive functioning. It's almost like the same swelling you see around a cut or scratch in your arm, only occurring in the brain. And it significantly influences the ability of different regions to coordinate and talk to one another, contributing to common depressive symptoms like brain fog and low mood. And more, we're seeing that treating the inflammation in concert with a mood disorder can make traditional antidepressant medications work even better. The obvious question becomes, what's causing all this inflammation? And what specifically can we do to ease this inflammation to help with these symptoms? The answer, as it turns out thankfully, is a whole lot. As we investigate diet, exercise, sleep, stress, the microbiome, mindfulness, we see that while nutritional and physiological root causes run deep, and trust me, we'll be getting deep into the science, some simple lifestyle changes can monumentally decrease your risk of chronic inflammation while improving well-being and mood. Some more obvious things like smoking and alcohol also have a strong impact. Even your habits around socialization have an effect. But remember, none of this happens in a vacuum. As a proponent of mental fitness, part of my job is to give you the facts. I can show you the science as we best understand it. I can dissect the data and give you strong recommendations. Ultimately, however, it's up to you to decide how these fit into your life. Few of us are interested in living by stringent codes that prevent the enjoyment of our lives and a sense of freedom. But by understanding the risk factors associated with inflammation and how this relates to our mental health, we can move further towards developing a plan and making choices to feel better and live better today, tomorrow, and every day. The first step is to understand how exciting this new concept of inflammation is and how it's revolutionizing medicine and psychiatry. Chronic inflammation is a major driver of almost all chronic illnesses, including mental health disorders like depression and anxiety. That's right, depression and anxiety in some ways are inflammatory disorders, and inflammation affects key circuits in the brain related to mood, anxiety, and our overall cognition. That's why we need to live our lives in a way that keeps chronic inflammation at bay and improves our overall mental health and mental fitness. In fact, many antidepressant medications are actually anti-inflammatory. And in large studies, when patients combine antidepressants with an anti-inflammatory medication, their outcomes for depression are better. Fighting inflammation is one of the major focuses and major takeaways of this course, and that's why during module 11 through 14, we're going to talk about the role of diet in inflammation and the ways that you can use food and change your dietary pattern to lower your overall risk and level of inflammation. And then in modules 15 to 18, we'll be talking about sleep. Sleep is the time when our brain clears out its waste and is a major factor in helping you reduce your inflammation and particularly care for your brain. In fact, all of the modules that focus on things like exercise, stress, and even the microbiome and mindfulness are all focused on helping you reduce inflammation as a way of caring for your brain and taking care to optimize your mental fitness. I'll see you in the next module.